This evening we're going to be concluding our series in the book of Jonah. We're going to be in chapter 4. In your pew Bibles in front of you, it's page 984. The title of this evening's message is Angry with God. Jonah chapter 4. We'll read through the chapter, verses 1 through 11. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die, and he said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Let's pray before we start. Lord, we thank you for the book of Jonah. We thank you for the many lessons that you are teaching us through this. We just pray our hearts are open this evening to what your spirit has to tell us through your word. In your son's name, amen. Reflecting back on your lives, do you recall any time or any point specifically in your life when you were angry with God? How many times in life do we find ourselves in this situation? Angry with God. Why? Generally speaking, it's over something we may have lost, or it's something that may not have gone our way. Now, it's interesting how we react to life's scenarios. Generally speaking, again, we get angry with God when things are rough, when things are difficult, when we're facing trials, when we're facing tribulations, physical ailments, these types of things, financial worries. We begin to become angry with God and our circumstances. But it's also interesting to see, and we'll see this evening with Jonah, that we become angry with God over his grace and his mercy and his blessings. We don't always respond the way we should when troubles and difficulties come. But neither do we also respond well to the blessings that we receive from the hand of God. For instance, you've heard of many stories where the son or the daughter will inherit the family business that the parents worked very hard, and maybe the grandparents worked very hard to start. But because they didn't have the same type of blood, sweat, and tears that went into that business, they don't have the respect for it that their ancestors did, and it ends up become squandered. Same thing with those who win the lottery, who have an overwhelming amount of money at one point in life. We hear of the horror story after horror story of people who destroy themselves because now there is no limitation or restriction to the things that they want to get their hands on in life. Or how many times we hear of children who are raised in good homes. So we assume that if you're raised in a good home, you're going to turn out the way you were raised, but a lot of times the exact opposite happens. So God showers us with his mercy. God showers us with his grace and with his blessings. But because of the sinful dynamic of our hearts, we respond incorrectly to the blessings of God. It seems like we always want more. We're seldom thankful. We complain when things are taken away from us. And we are angry when somebody else receives a blessing that we think we should receive. So the underlying source to all of this is that we are angry with God in some way. What God has ordained to come to pass, it crosses with how we think our lives should be going. When we struggle, when times are tough, through suffering and pain, this comes about. But like we're going to see this evening with Jonah, it's the exact opposite. Jonah becomes angry with God. Now, regarding Nineveh, because God blesses them, he saves them. And regarding Jonah himself, God becomes angry when he takes away the plant that was shading him that he didn't deserve. So we find ourselves in chapter 4, verse 1, we see right away that he's angry with God. But what is the context and the background this evening to chapter 4? Well, chapter 1, if you remember, God gave Jonah the call to Nineveh, and he ran in his rebellion. Got on the ship, rebelled against God, got tossed overboard, wanted to die, was swallowed by the fish. Chapter 2 was the account of Jonah in the belly of the fish, hitting rock bottom, God having Jonah one-on-one, face-to-face, Jonah comes to repentance. So we have chapter 3, the restoration of Jonah. God calls Jonah again a second time to Nineveh to do what he originally should have done. And he did that, and it was a success. The Ninevites repented. Happy ever after, right? The book of Jonah can conclude here, but it doesn't. Chapter 4, we see Jonah being angry with God. So the cycle of Jonah continues. Reminds me of one of my favorite roller coasters. It's called the American Eagle. Just north of Chicago, the theme park has it, where you go up all the way up to where you can see pretty much the entire United States. That's how high you are. And then it comes crashing down, and then it goes back up, and then crashing down, and then it goes really fast in circles until you're done. A 30-second ride, my favorite roller coaster. That's how I feel when I read Jonah. He has his ups, he has his downs, but these just aren't average ups and downs. These are high peaks and low valleys, high peaks and low valleys. And if we're honest with ourselves, emotionally, inside of ourselves, we can experience the same type of thing. So the question this evening is this: is it ever okay to be angry with God? Now, I'm not asking the question why. Sometimes things happen, we're like, why, Lord? Why did this happen? That's not the question I'm asking this evening, but rather anger from something that has happened to you or something that has happened to a loved one. Talking about anger that is deeply rooted, anger that you don't want to admit that's there because you're ashamed, something that you believe should have never taken place, but God allowed it. It now affects church. It affects how you read scripture. It's like walking around with a stone in your shoe every day. Now, the answer to the question, is it ever okay to be angry with God? The answer is no. It's never okay to be angry with God, because what we're saying is that God did something wrong, that we have a right to blame him for something. Now, inside, we know that God is never to blame. We know that this isn't possible. So we don't want to admit this. We label it something else. We cover it up. We avoid thinking about it altogether because we know it's wrong to think like this. And the result of this is we walk around with a grudge, and it affects our relationships. It affects our relationship with the Lord, and it affects our relationship with each other. We never deal with it. Quite often, we may not even realize that we are angry with God. We don't have the words to express what's going on inside. So the question this evening is there a disconnect within you in your relationship with the Lord? Has something happened recently? Did something take place in the past that is unresolved? And this is the scenario that we find with in Jonah this evening. Now, I don't have any outline points inside the bulletin this evening, but if we want to make them, there's two that we could make. The first, verses 1 through 4, God's grace towards others. And verses 5 through 11, God's grace to Jonah. Now, I had them titled Jonah's Anger with Others and Jonah's Anger with God. But what Jonah's really upset about here, and we're going to see this, is he's upset with the circumstances, yes, but it's deeper than his circumstances. What Jonah's angry with is he's angry with God himself. God showed favor to the Ninevites. A miracle took place. They repented. You think with Jonah would be beside himself, but in verse 1 it says, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. What is Jonah angry about now? Things have been restored. Nineveh repented. Happily ever after, but that's not what we see. On the surface, Jonah is upset because of God's grace and his blessings he gave to his enemies, the Ninevites. But the true source is even lower or deeper in his heart than this. He's angry with God himself. And what specifically is Jonah angry with God about? In verse 2, it says, and he prayed to the Lord, and he said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in your country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Now think about this for a second. Jonah is angry with God because God is merciful, because God is slow to anger, because he's steadfast, and he relents from disaster. This isn't what we would expect Jonah to be angry about. Normally, we see it's the other way around. Normally, we find people angry with God because they're in pain or they're in some type of suffering. But in Jonah's case, we see the exact opposite. Jonah is angry with God because God has blessed his enemies. So now, what exactly are these aspects of God's nature that we see here in verse 2? First of all, it says God is gracious and he's merciful, meaning God shows mercy to his greatest of enemies. He gives grace to those who hate him, to those who don't deserve it. God is compassionate. Now, this word in Hebrew means soft like the mother's womb. It's illustrating God's compassion, similar to a mother has when she's nursing the developing child. God is slow to anger. Proverbs 16:32 says, better is a patient man than a warrior. Now, what are warriors? We know warriors are trained for combat. We know warriors are here to protect any threat that our nation may receive. But a patient man, according to Proverbs, one who's slow to anger, is somebody who's stronger than a warrior. So just think of the amount of strength it takes to be patient. It takes to be slow to anger. And how much of this God has. That at any time in any one of our lives, before we were saved by the blood of Christ, at any one of our lives, any sin, God could take our life at that moment. But he doesn't. How much sin God deals with on a day-to-day basis. Also says God is abounding in love. This is unrelenting love. This is covenantal love. This is a love that God has decided on his own to bestow to his. This isn't a love that he first sees that's in us and then reacts. This is a love that he has decided to give to us and commit to us. It's unconditional. It endures forever. So this is what Jonah is angry with God about. He wants blood and destruction from Nineveh, not repentance. And because of this, Jonah says he'd rather die than see Nineveh blessed. Look at verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, this isn't the first time we see Jonah saying this. Remember when he was on the ship and it was tossed to and fro by the waves? He told the Gentiles on the ship to throw him overboard. It's better for him to die. Now, I don't see this as a dramatic overreaction. Sometimes we can overreact to our circumstances. Sometimes our emotions are high, and we say things that after an hour or two, after we calm down, okay, we come to our senses, I really didn't mean that. That's not what Jonah's doing here. I think he's serious here. I think his anger has cut him to the core where he literally wants to die. He wants a way out. But notice, due to Jonah's anger, how does God deal with Jonah? We saw Jonah's angry over God, over those four things that we just went over on God's character. How does God deal with him? Look at verse 4. The Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" Does it benefit Jonah to be angry with God? No. Does Jonah have the right to be angry with God? No. But yet, God doesn't yell. God doesn't rebuke. God doesn't send fire from heaven. God simply asks Jonah a moral question. Do you do well to be angry? He wants to get Jonah to step back. He wants to get Jonah to think about what's going on here. God is patient. He's long-suffering. He shows mercy. He makes us reflect and think about our circumstances. So what he's doing with Jonah here is he's giving him a mini counseling session to think things through, to open up and confess what's really in his heart, and to identify what this problem is within. Notice now, Jonah doesn't respond to God. Rather, what we see now is he builds a booth. He sets it outside of Nineveh and sits back and watches the city. He's still hoping that the city will fall. Look at verse 5. Jonah went out of the city, and he sat to the east of the city, and he made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. He's still hoping for destruction. He's hoping they mess up. So he sits out in the shade, in the booth, for 40 days. Now Jonah makes himself this shelter or this booth. And if we remember the children of Israel wandering for 40 years, they made themselves booths as well. So it's the similar thing happening. What the children of Israel made during the wilderness wandering, a place to live. God blessed them with booths. Jonah's using it as well, but he's using it in a different sense. Israel was blessed by them. Jonah's sitting in it to watch destruction of his enemies. Jonah is doing this out of a spirit of self-righteousness, and he's doing it out of envy. He wants this grace for Israel, and according to him, the Ninevites don't deserve it. Now, has this ever been you? Have you ever been the one sitting back, hoping to watch, hoping to see somebody fail? Have you ever been so envious of the success of another and thought they didn't deserve it and you just couldn't wait till they fell flat on their face? We think it should have been me who got that promotion at work. It should have been me who got most of our parents' inheritance. It should have been me who has the better house and the better car, because when I was growing up, I was much more respectful and obedient and loving than my sibling. We can develop this type of anger with others. We think to ourselves, Nineveh is the bully, Israel is the underdog. Why would God bless the bully? Why would God send his grace to the powerful? Why would he give saving grace to the oppressive Ninevites? Why not Israel? Why not me? Why are my enemies receiving God's grace? And in our minds, we create different degrees or different levels for the sins of others. We understand there are certain sins that everybody commits. These are common sins. These are normal sins. We don't judge people too harshly for these. They're common to us all. We give people more grace in these areas, but there's other type of sins. Sins that we label as taboo. Sins that are outside of our comfort zone. These are the evil sins in our mind. These are the bad sins. You have your sins that everybody else commits. Yes, they're bad. But these type of sins over here, what Nineveh was practicing, those types of sin are an abomination. They're outside of God's grace. Therefore, God should never bless them. But because I'm only committing these little sins over here, I should be receiving more of God's grace. This was Jonah's mindset. No grace for the bad guys. Now, it's true. There are some sins that are worse than others. But the reality is, it takes the same blood of Christ to forgive us from both. Nobody is less guilty than the other. Lesser sins send a person to hell just as quickly as the greater sins do. And it's important to keep this in mind, especially when doing ministry outside of the church, that the smallest of our sins, the ones that we don't even think about, the smallest of our sins are more an offense to God than the Ninevite sins were to Jonah. We get this mixed up. We think just because we're doing these little sins that, just think, you have an all-powerful, all-pure, all-holy, all-loving God. And the smallest of sin, it's like taking a drop of oil in your drinking water. One drop of oil, no big deal, right? Well, of course it is. This is how it is to the Lord in our smallest of sins. But take a glass of drinking water, put 10 drops of oil, and take a drinking water and put 15 drops of oil. We're comparing our sin to another person's sin. Yeah, there might be a little bit more oil in their glass than ours, but you sure can't drink either one of them. But we have a way of rationalizing this in our mind where we're here as sinners, but they're here as sinners. And we think that God has to see this according to the way we see it. We get confused in this area. The Ninevites believed, they repented. They are now part of the body. They're brothers in the faith. And what does Jonah do? He sets up a booth afar off and he waits for 40 days to see their destruction. Do we wish the same? Someone who has wronged us, either another brother in Christ or somebody within the church, are you sitting back and watching for God to deal with that person, to chastise them, to discipline them? If God is so willing to forgive the Ninevites, the bully, the bad guy, the extreme sinners, why are we so reluctant to forgive? We may struggle when God blesses our enemies, but it's interesting with human nature. We never struggle. We never complain. We never get angry with God when he blesses us. Look at verse 6. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Now, don't you love it when you go through seasons of experiencing God's blessings in life? There have been times in my life where I look back and I'm like, boy, that was a season of blessing. I'll always remember it. I thank God for it. I wish every day was like this. Good health, stable job, plenty of food, nice church, everything's going well. We see here Jonah is sitting off in the heat. He's hoping he sees Nineveh falls. And yet, in spite of Jonah's heart, his anger, his envy, God's still blessing him. The Lord provides this plant to protect him in the heat. Now, we know Jonah definitely didn't deserve it, but God provided it anyways. So from God's perspective, every single blessing that we receive is undeserved. We don't complain when we receive these. In fact, we can enjoy these too much. They can become idols. So what ends up happening? Just as God has the freedom to bless us, God has the right to take them away. He has the right to bring discomfort in our lives as well. And look at verse 7. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, so that it withered. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Either way, blessed be the name of the Lord. We have no right to demand anything from God. So what are these plants in our lives? What are these blessings that the Lord has given you? What gives you comfort? Are these the things that you rest in? Are these the things that motivates you to get up in the morning? Are these the things that determine whether your relationship with God is good or bad? The vine, the plant, it's a nice addition to Jonah's life. It kept the sun from hitting him. But the Lord is not always interested in our comfort. We want to put our feet up, relax, coast through life. This is our natural tendency, the good life. But this isn't why the Lord blesses us. He blesses us because he loves us in spite of our sin. He blesses us so we have a heart of adoration and gratitude in return. He blesses us so we turn around and take that blessing and lay it right back at the Lord's feet. But this isn't always the case. This isn't always what we do. We get angry with God when he takes things away from us. Look at verse 8. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die, and he said, "It is better for me to die than to live." It's interesting what the Lord's doing with Jonah here. He's blessing him. Jonah's happy. He takes that blessing away. Jonah's angry. He's showing Jonah the sin in his heart that needs to be removed. And I remember in wrestling practice in high school, my coach would do a similar thing. He'd have us all get into our stances. And he'd come up and he'd snap our head down. He'd pop our shoulder. He'd drag our arm. He was seeing if we were leaning too far forward, or he was seeing if we were leaning too far back. He wanted to see how stable we were on our feet and where the weaknesses were so that we were wrestling, we wouldn't be able to get taken down so easy. This is what the Lord is doing with Jonah here. He sends the worm to destroy the vine. He sends the east wind to bring on the heat. All of this is exposing Jonah's true nature in his heart. His heart is being tested to see the motivations within it. And as a result, Jonah becomes angry. Now notice, he doesn't become confrontational with the Lord. He doesn't yell. Rather, he says he would rather die. He says, "I'm done. No more, Lord." He's angry with God. He knows God is up here and he's down here. He doesn't yell at him face to face. He continues talking with him, but he gives up. He quits. "The Ninevites, they have received your grace. I'm receiving discipline from you, Lord. This isn't fair." Now, when we hear the word providence, the root word in there is what? To provide. God is the one who provides our blessings. He is the one who decides every detail of our life. He brings on the blessings. He can also take them away. But what we must always keep in mind is God appoints the troubles. He appoints the sufferings. He appoints the tribulations out of love, to expose us, to conform us, to strengthen us, and to keep our hearts pure. Our anger can only be corrected by submission. Submission to God's providence. Submission to his sovereign will. Submission to what God has ordained for others to have. Be happy when your neighbor is blessed. Rejoice with those who rejoice. I mean, that is a really good way to test your heart. When your neighbor receives something or is blessed with something, how are you reacting to that? Are you happy for them? Are you 90% happy with them? So then there's 10% of envy, 10% of jealousy? It's a really good way. Submission to God's plans for others. Submission to what he has ordained for you to have. Especially if this is contrary to how you think your life should be going, what you think you deserve, or wherever you had planned in the past that you would be at a certain age. And you're not, you're over here. We get angry because of this. Jonah's angry because he wanted things to be different. He knows God can change any circumstance, and it's not going his way. But God has a reason for this. We have to submit. So the question is, how do we handle our anger with God? At first, Jonah didn't want to admit he was angry. Verse 4, God asked him, Jonah, are you angry? No response. But verse 9, Jonah says, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. Remember that mini counseling session that God was doing with Jonah. Verse 4, Jonah, are you angry? Oh, no, I'm not angry with you, God. Remember, God can see the heart. God knows it's there. So by verse 9, what does Jonah do? He confesses. He says, yes, Lord, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. He admits it. The Lord brought the difficulties in his life to flush this sin out. God helps Jonah confess his anger. And better yet, God is willing to forgive those who become angry with him. Normally, people deny that they're angry with God because we know it's a sin. So obviously we can't, well, no, I'm not angry with God. We want to push it to the side. We want to avoid this. This is our natural response when we're angry with God. We express our anger in different ways. We express our anger and we blame it on a circumstance, or we blame it on a person, or we blame it on something from our past. But in all reality, we're angry with God. We're not honest with ourselves. Now remember, there's never a reason to be angry with God. We can be angry with the sin. We can be angry with the sinner. But God is never to be blamed. Sometimes we need help to bring this out in order to confess this, in order to deal with it, in order to repent of it. If we don't admit this, if we don't confess this from the start, the healing process, the restoration process is never going to begin. So the question with yourself, or if you have a friend or a loved one that you suspect might be angry with God, it's a simple question. If you're out with them for a cup of coffee, ask them, are you angry with God? More than likely, the first response is going to be, absolutely not. Okay. Well, are you willing to maybe think about the possibility that you're angry with God? No. I'm good. Not angry with God. Okay. 5-10 minutes go by. Do you think maybe you're angry with God just a little bit? Person may be thinking, you know what? Maybe I am. You're not looking at the whole perspective. Try to have them focus on one little area. Maybe you're angry with God a little bit. This method is what Jonah, the Lord uses with Jonah. God doesn't bring instant judgment. He doesn't take a Bible and smack Jonah upside the head. He doesn't ridicule him. The Lord understands we have limitations. The Lord understands that we become frustrated. God is patient with us in this. He knows we can only handle so much, and he never gives us more than we can handle. We know that from Corinthians. But he knows we respond sinfully to things in our life. It's not that he's ignorant of this. He knows this. And he's willing to forgive this if we would just admit this. So the first thing that we do, talk about it. Ask the very basic questions. Have the individual, if you're speaking with them, have them explain the circumstances, the situation, the history, what's behind the anger. Ask them, is it possible that you're mad with God? Do you think maybe you are angry with God? Open them up. Have them confess. Draw this out. Have you been angry with God in the past over something? What is it that makes you angry now? What happened? Tell me. Help me understand where you are right now at this moment so I can empathize, so I can come alongside and see what you're experiencing. How do you see God? How do you interpret God in this situation? Where is the anger coming from? After this, we can soften the edges. We can provide perspective. If we're focused so much on the anger, if we're focused so much on what's bothering them, talk about the blessings of God, the many things that God has given us or the person in life that we overlook on a continual basis. Balance out the disequilibrium. So often we are so focused on the problem that we make it much bigger than what it actually is. Talk about the joy, talk about the blessings, the good things from the hand of God. And the fourth one is to repent of it. Acknowledge the anger, understanding it's wrong, ask for forgiveness, confess the sin. Now, there are different levels. There are different degrees to these things. Sometimes somebody can be angry over something small. It's important, but it's small. And other times people can be angry because if they were to write down the past 6 months, what they experienced and what other loved ones have experienced, sometimes it's jaw-dropping what people go through in life. So the anger, the intensity of it can vary. The principles are always the same, but the dynamics of it are different. Each scenario will be different. Sometimes somebody may be angry over something that we may view as small, petty maybe even, but there are times where you listen to somebody's story and you're like, wow, I can understand why. But in understanding that, in acknowledging that, and in understanding that, and having them admit that, or even yourself, if it's yourself that you're thinking this through with, the principles are never the same. God is right there alongside of you. There is a reason and there is a purpose. We trust in Him. Focus on the reality of who God is. A lot of times when we're angry and when we're bitter, we create a false understanding of who God is, and that becomes God in our mind. Focus on the reality of who He is. Remember what it was from Jonah. God is merciful, compassionate, slow to anger, steadfast love, slow to judgment. He wants to forgive our anger. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your many examples in Scripture that you give us of how we become off base. But Lord, we admit that as we read Scripture and that we experience life, things in our life, Lord, come our way that just knock us right off of our feet. At times, Lord, it is easy and it is natural for us to become angry with you. Lord, but you're willing to forgive this. You're willing to work this out in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that we interpret the circumstances that we're facing today through the lens of Scripture, that you are merciful, that you are compassionate, that you are loving, that you have a plan and a reason for everything that we have gone through in life. Lord, help us submit to this. Lord, help us if we are angry with you or have been angry with you to confess this. And Lord, help us to help others who are in similar circumstances in life. We lift all of this up, Lord, in your Son's name. Amen.